In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Please be seated. Our scripture passage this morning picks up where we left off in the book of Ruth. I'll begin reading back at verse 1, and we will read all the way through verse 3. Our text will be verses 2 and 3. Hear now the word of God. Then my pleasant one, that's Hebrew, Naomi, her mother-in-law said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you in order that it may be well with you? And now is not in strength," here's our passage this morning, "and now is not in strength," that's Hebrew Boaz, "is not in strength our close kinsman with whose young maidservants you were. And behold, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Let us pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your word. May you fill this, your house, and each person here with your Holy Spirit, that we might not just be attentive listeners, but active doers of your word. That by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, you would write this word in our hearts. And that throughout the week, we would find the account of Ruth, this very passage, ministering to us in the most unexpected ways. Because in this passage, we have a beautiful example, a beautiful depiction of the way that you work in the details, in the plans, in the thoughts, and in the actions of your people, guiding them, leading them, and bringing about your purpose. That what we see in the book of Ruth is the very thing that we encounter each and every day in our walk with God. Your hand, your purpose, your plan with us, directing us every step of the way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our text this morning continues our study of the book of Ruth. Notice then the story thus far. For some 2 months and through two distinct harvests, both the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, Ruth has been busy in Boaz's field, gleaning right beside his workers. Meanwhile, Naomi has been watching Boaz's interactions with Ruth on the prayer that maybe, just maybe, God has set this close family relative, Boaz, in place to provide deliverance and a future for her family. Not only that, as Naomi becomes more and more convinced of Boaz's sincerity, she begins prayerfully and meticulously to formulate a plan to get this possible deliverance moving. Thus, as chapter 3 opens, the period of observing and formulating are over. Naomi has seen enough, and now, as the head of the house, she turns to set her plan to secure her family's future into motion. In our text this morning, Naomi continues to build the case for the plan she is laying out. Listen, "and now is not in strength our close kinsman." Notice at once Naomi's second rhetorical question. Now, this is important. Remember, Naomi is not asking these questions to gain information. A rhetorical question is by nature a question that everybody already knows the answer to, and that's why it's being used. So Naomi isn't asking these questions in the text to gain information. Instead, Naomi is building the case for her plan by presenting facts that are obvious and upon which both women agree. There's something they both already know and agree. And so Naomi is using them to build this case. Notice then what Naomi asks. Naomi asks, "Is not Boaz our close kinsman?" Now this is important. In a book that is all about names, it is of the utmost importance that Naomi begins her second case-building question with this close kinsman's actual Hebrew name, in strength. And I give in a footnote there. If you think we're making too much of this, I'll give you a footnote that you can consider. It'll be online. But notice it's the utmost importance that Naomi begins the second case-building question with this close kinsman's actual Hebrew name, in strength. Thus, when Naomi says Boaz, Ruth would have literally heard, "in strength." That's what his name means. Ruth would have heard that. Now, this is so important. Why? Because notice the result of all this is that the notion of strength sets the psychological tone of the entire case that Naomi is making. That would have resonated. That sets the tone. That sets kind of the mindset of the entire case that Naomi is making. So the author has intentionally focused us on two things right away. First of all, that Naomi and her plan are pleasant to God. My pleasant one. They're pleasant to God. And the second thing is that this plan concerns the strength that God has already set in place. And so think about it. It sets the tone for everything that Naomi is saying as she's building her case. So if I came to you and said, listen, man, I got some really bad news and it's really going to upset you. Your disposition, your attitude going into the whole conversation is going to be, oh gosh, what's coming, okay? If I start it by going, hey, I got some great news, you're not going to believe this. Your approach, your attitude, your disposition is going to be completely different. Naomi begins by setting the tone of this whole conversation. It begins with what is pleasant to God, and also it begins with the strength that God has put in place. At the same time, we are also reminded that Yahweh is the strength behind in strength. When we hear in strength, whose strength is that? It's Yahweh's strength. In other words, the author has shown us over and over again the way that Yahweh has blessed Boaz and has Boaz in place to be his instrument. Thus, in Boaz's kindness, we are to see Yahweh's kindness. That it was Yahweh's acceptance of Ruth that is the basis of Boaz's acceptance. It is because Yahweh accepted her that Boaz is going out of his way to accept and to show her all this kindness. In Boaz's kindness, we see Yahweh's kindness. Simply put, as Naomi builds the case for her plan, she points to the strength and the very realistic possibility that God has placed right before them. And now, is not in strength our close kinsman? Next, notice Naomi does not say that Boaz is Elimelech's close relative. Remember, Elimelech is Naomi's now deceased husband, and that is actually Boaz's actual tie to the family. He is Elimelech's relative, and so he's related only by marriage. But notice that Naomi doesn't start by saying what is most direct. Instead, she conspicuously asks, is he not our close kinsman? In other words, as Naomi is setting forth her plan, she underscores the direct relevance that Boaz's family tie has for their situation. And remember, this relevance is twofold. It's based on the Hebrew custom of a kinsman redeemer or family guardian who looks after the well-being of a deceased family member's remaining family. It's also based on the Levirate marriage where a relative is going to redeem the family line, carry on that family line by marrying the widow of his deceased relative. And so in both of these cases, the relevance there, which Ruth now knows, is what? The redemption of their family line and the securing of their well-being through remarriage, and specifically to Boaz, who is this close family relative, this family guardian. Listen, and now is not in strength our close relative with whose young maidservants you were. Next, notice Naomi goes on to ask Ruth, were you not with Boaz's maidservants over the past two harvests, over the past 2 months? In importance, again, Naomi's question is not seeking to clarify or gain information. They both know the answer to this right away. Instead, Naomi is building the case for her plan. Notice then, Naomi's second question reminds Ruth that Boaz is a close kinsman with a social and moral connection to the family. Not only that, he has already acted in this social and moral capacity by showing Ruth the unheard-of kindness of allowing her to glean alongside his maidservants through both the barley and the wheat harvest. So if you weren't with us in the first section of the book, remember that when you glean or scavenge for grain, those people were way behind. They were not allowed to get in anybody's way who was actually doing the work. And they were picking up what was left behind or what was dropped, okay? But Boaz has placed Ruth right beside his own workers. Not only that, he's told his workers to allow Ruth to glean from the piles of grain that have not yet been bundled up. And then when they are bundled up, his bundling girls are to purposely drop some of that grain on the ground, which by Hebrew law makes it the property of the gleaner. And so what Boaz is doing is over the top. It is unheard of. And so he's already showed this capacity, this unheard of kindness, by allowing Ruth to glean alongside his maidservants, not just for a day, not just for one harvest, but across two distinct fields and two distinct harvests, barley and wheat. Notice in the point, since Boaz has already cared for their family in such an extraordinary and prolonged manner, then maybe he will be willing to assume the full role and the full care of a family guardian by what? Marrying Ruth. What's the whole point of this plan? It is to pursue Ruth's remarriage to Boaz. Okay? And that's the whole point of what Naomi is putting forth here. Notice in the case that Naomi has made through these two rhetorical questions. In her first rhetorical question, back in verse 1, Naomi reminds Ruth that as the matriarch and head of the family, it is Naomi's duty and her authority to secure their well-being. Okay, and so it's important that right away, throughout everything that Naomi is about to say, throughout every detail of this plan, that we hear both the care and the authority by which Naomi is setting this forth. Okay, this is not girl talk. Okay. Ruth is being commanded. Ruth is being instructed. We're about to see that. Okay? And so in a book that's all about legal transactions, okay, that the author is going out of his way to remind us that this is one of those official binding actions that upon which the entire book hinges. This is one of those legal transactions or authoritative binding actions that are taking place upon which the whole book will turn and hinge, okay? And so we're to hear that. Not only that, next notice in Naomi's second rhetorical question, which we just heard in verse 2, she reminds Ruth that Boaz is a close kinsman who has already shown a real willingness to provide for their well-being. Simply put, Naomi frames the case for her plan in the form of two rhetorical questions in order to underscore that the reasons behind her plan are the truths that Ruth already knows. Her plan should be agreeable and evident because these are things that Ruth already knows. Listen. Behold, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Next notice, Naomi says that Boaz will be winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. In other words, Naomi now is building the case for acting right now. Okay? She's built the case for her plan, and now she turns to build the case for putting that plan in motion right now, that very night. Now, how is she doing that? How do we see that? Well, notice Naomi points out that they both know where Boaz will be that night. They both know where he's going to be. Not only that, the place that Boaz is going to be is a public or community event. It's something that the entire town, or at least a great deal of the town, is going to be attending. In other words, to act now avoids the indiscretion of an uninvited and private encounter. So let me stop there, okay? So let's say that Ruth just showed up at Boaz's door. She gets all dolled up, she's looking really good, and she just shows up unannounced at Boaz's house, on his door, okay? Well, people would have seen and seen where she was going. The house servants that answered the door and attended to people who came in, they would have known. And so there would have been talk. What's she doing here? Why is she here? Not only that, we saw that the natives have already kind of begun to resent Ruth. And so Boaz has to shut that down. Why is this foreign girl getting all this preferential treatment? And now she shows up at his house, okay, all dolled up. going to try to steal the most eligible bachelor in town, you can hear how that would cause problems for Ruth, but also for Boaz as well. Boaz might have been put off by that. Not only that, it's not a private encounter. And by that, I mean it's not unobserved, okay? So that's important because as we're going to see as we go, there's a real risk to what Ruth is doing here. Okay, Ruth could be rejected. Not only could she be rejected, she could be sent off in disgrace. Okay, there's no guarantee. Naomi has done everything she can to try to mitigate that danger and try to assure that that's not, you know, a likely outcome, but there's still that risk. And so that's important because notice, if you go to a restaurant with someone, You might be having a very private and personal conversation with them. It's not a public conversation. You're having a private conversation. But nonetheless, it's a conversation that's occurring in a public place. So if everything goes south in that conversation, right, and the person comes along and says, well, she was crazy. She came in there and was screaming and hollering. She lit the tablecloth on fire. She even threatened me with a butter knife. Had some of that good cinnamon butter that they give you down at the Hound Steakhouse. It had some of that on it. And she was trying to threaten me. Well, even though the conversation is private, it's a conversation that's occurring in public. And so people would have been able to say, did somebody set a tablecloth on fire? I didn't hear you scream. We were sitting right there. We would have heard something like that go down. So notice then, the way Naomi is building the case for acting right now is because not only they know where Boaz is going to be, Naomi has also set up the setting to be one that's public. Okay, this is a community event. Ruth has every right to be there, and it's not improper for her to talk to whoever happens to be at this public event. All right, and so this is so important. Why? Because once we see the wisdom, the thoroughness and the care that Naomi has put into her plan. That 2 months as she's thinking and praying, we see the meticulous care and the thoughtfulness and thoroughness that Naomi has put into her plan. In other words, at every step of this plan, we see Naomi seeking both her family's well-being as well as Ruth's protection. Listen. Gets good here. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes. Notice at once, if in verses 1 and 2, Naomi builds the case for her plan, then in verses 3 through 5, she lays out the details or specifics of that plan. She's built the case, and now she turns to lay that plan out. In other words, in verses 3 through 5, we see Naomi acting as the matriarch or head of the family and putting her carefully thought and timed plan into action. We've seen the care in looking out for Ruth's well-being. We've also seen, we're about to see, the authority with which Naomi is acting here. Listen, notice. Notice then, Naomi begins unfolding this plan by giving Ruth 3 specific commands. Okay, the form here is an imperative used, imperfect used imperatively. It is a command. Okay, she is given instructions. She tells Ruth to wash, anoint herself with oil, and to put on her best clothing. However, please note, Naomi is not telling, Naomi is telling Ruth far, far more than just to get dolled up and look good for Boaz. All right? Now, that said, looking presentable is certainly a part of what Naomi is saying, okay? These are two women, okay? At some point in this conversation, there was that whole, oh no, go with the blue dress. It just makes your eyes dance. Oh, go with that. All right, but, okay, so looking presentable. She don't want Ruth showing up in rags. Okay, looking presentable is a part of that. But if that is all you hear, you have missed the major point of what Naomi is saying to Ruth. She's not telling her to get dolled up. Naomi's instructions are not intended to woo or entice Boaz. She's not supposed to go out there looking fine, okay? That's not the point. Remember, the book of Ruth is not a romance, okay? It's not the chick flick book of the Bible. It's not the Hallmark Movie Channel book of the Bible, okay? It's not a romance, Okay, so Naomi isn't telling Ruth to get dolled up and to go and try to woo or entice Boaz. At the same time, the purpose here is not, as some commentators will claim, it's not for Ruth to conceal herself from recognition beneath some outer cloak. That's not what's going on. And I only mention that because you hear that so often. So if you've heard that and that's a big deal to you, then I break down why that is absolutely not what's going on. She's not telling Ruth to conceal her identity underneath some outer cloak. And so if you want more information on that, you can read it in the footnotes. I'll lay it out for you. But for now, just notice that's not what's going on. Instead, the purpose of Naomi's instructions here is to communicate a very specific message to Boaz. We could even put in a visual message. Okay, remember in The Godfather, there'd be a dead fish on your doorstep and it'd be, Linguini sleeps with the fish, okay? That's what's going on. It's a visual that would have communicated a very specific message that everyone in that culture would have known. The purpose of Naomi is to communicate a very specific message to Boaz. What message? Well, remember, it was the custom for widows to wear specific mourning clothes for an extended period of time. In addition, it was also the custom that they would refrain from things like cosmetics, anointing oil, the oil of joy, and even from frequent washing. Therefore, Naomi's instructions here are meant to convey to Boaz that Ruth's period of mourning is over and that she is now available for what? Remarriage. Okay? There's one purpose here. You see that? The period of mourning is over. All the mourning clothes and all the mourning customs are gone. Ruth is available for remarriage. That's the singular point that Naomi's right. That's the point of this entire plan. The redemption of the family line through Ruth's remarriage to Boaz. Okay? And thus, best clothes. That's the New American Standard, and I've left it there. But notice the translation, best clothes, is better translated as normal clothes, which stand in direct contrast to the mourning clothes that Ruth is being told to lay aside and in which Boaz is accustomed to seeing her. There's a change, right? And the change is the message. Listen. And go down to the threshing floor. Wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your normal clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. Next, notice Naomi's plan continues with a fourth command to Ruth, the authority we hear. Thus, after telling Ruth to present herself as marriage eligible, she then instructs Ruth to go down to the threshing floor where they know Boaz will be. In other words, the specific message behind every detail of this plan is meant exclusively for Boaz. That is, Naomi's plan is not to put Ruth on the market. This is not a debutante. Okay, this is not a coming out, or as a widow, a re-coming out party. She's not getting dolled up and be sent out there to play the field. It is one specific person with one specific message. Instead, the whole point of the plan is to ask Boaz and Boaz alone to consider taking on the full role of family guardian, of kinsman redeemer, by marrying Ruth. Every detail is lining up for that, okay? We're listening to Scripture. Listen. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Next, notice Naomi concludes the first portion of her plan, step one of her plan, with one final command. She instructs Ruth not to make herself known to Boaz until after he has finished eating and drinking. That is, she is not to approach him so dressed or to let him know that she is there until after dinner. And this is important. Notice the discretion of Naomi's plan is not accomplished by hiding Ruth between some outer cloak. Okay, that's not where the discretion comes in. Instead, the discretion of Naomi's plan is accomplished by Ruth's change of attire, her change in appearance, and her timing. Okay, so think about it. Here's the discretion. Remember, we've just been told Boaz will be at the threshing floor when? That night, because threshing took place in the late afternoon, dusk, into the night, into the evening. okay, because of the winds there. All right, so anyway, threshing takes place at night as the light is becoming dimmer and dimmer. Ruth shows up and not in her familiar widow's outfit, okay? And so she's not easily recognizable. And then she's supposed to intentionally avoid Boaz until after dinner. Okay, that's the discretion, not a cloak. If she came in, and think about it, if someone walked in the door of the church, okay, and we're a smaller church, and they were wearing a concealed cloak and we in hiding their identity, we might know them, but we don't know who they are. That's going to draw more attention. If you show up at a party that's not a costume party, and you're the only one wearing a mask and a costume, you're going to stand out. Okay, so that would have worked. It's not this cloak. Instead, the discretion is the change in appearance and the timing. Notice then, Ruth is not to interrupt or distract Boaz while he's working. Don't bother Dad while he's working, Andrew. Instead, she is to wait until the work is done, his mind is free, and his responsibilities are all handled. Not only that, in other words, this proposal shouldn't start off being a pain in the rear end. Okay, wait till all the work's done. His responsibilities are all done. Not only that, Naomi tells Ruth to wait until he has finished eating and drinking before she approaches him. Why? Because Naomi's been married. She understands. She knows that the best timing for the success of this venture is when Boaz's belly is full, his heart is glad, and there is a collective joy over the harvest just threshed. Okay? Everybody's in a good mood. There's a joy, and the work's done, and his heart's glad. Simply put, the five instructions that Naomi has given Ruth thus far show Naomi's wisdom and the thought, the meticulous care that she has put into this plan. She has prayed over it, she has thought it through, and she's putting it into action. Bottom line, as the two women sit at the kitchen table, Ruth listens to Naomi's plan with her full attention. She can tell Naomi is serious. As she does so, she is surprised that her heart is strangely calm. Normally, the prospect of such a life-changing moment, like getting married, okay, as well as the huge risk she might get rejected in disgrace. Normally, the prospects of such a life-changing moment and huge risk would have filled her heart with anxiety. However, she has this strange sense, like hearing a whisper on the wind or an echo just beneath another's voice. She has this strange sense that Naomi's plan is somehow a part of the deliverance that Yahweh has been working all along. In other words, we are reminded that in Naomi's plan, we see God's hand at work in the real-life situations of his children. Okay, now there's a lot of details. We're setting up the stage so we can see all this going on. But remember that the book of Ruth is a book that's meant to engage you, that's meant to delight you, to draw you in. Why? Not only because the Messiah that's going to result from these very events is the very Savior and Lord that you come this morning to worship, but because the book of Ruth is a picture. It's a picture of the way that God works, your God and my God, Ruth and Naomi's God, the way that God works in the very specific details of his people's life. Okay, it's a picture of your God and how he works in your life. And so we see God directing Naomi's plan, just like he directs your plans. You're thinking through a situation that you're facing. God is going to open some doors. He's going to frustrate some attempts, and then he's going to point you and bless other attempts. He brings things to mind. He is with you at every step of the way. And so we have this wonderful picture of the God who is with you and with me in the very details of the things that we're facing right now today. Amen.